Facts allow you to make decisions in unpredictable times. Get the facts you need from the Wall Street Journal. From free coronavirus updates to daily deep dives in our podcasts and videos, WSJ is a trusted source in uncertain times. Visit WSJ.com.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, August 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. For businesses, testing employees for the coronavirus is key to reopening safely and maintaining a healthy workplace, but it's also expensive. And many small businesses are finding that their insurance doesn't always cover the cost.
The companies that want to be able to do this are saying, we're trying to get ahead of the ball, we're trying to get ahead of the problem, and it's very expensive for us.
So who does the law say should be paying for these tests? We'll ask our healthcare reporter, Sarah Krauss, after the break.
Robotics, artificial intelligence, augmented reality. The future is here. Listen to Tomorrow, Today, with the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything, the podcast that takes you to the front lines of science and tech and shows you what's coming next. Look ahead. What do you hear? The Future of Everything, from the Wall Street Journal. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The cost of testing employees for COVID-19 can run in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But who should be footing the bill? Insurance? The company? Or the employees themselves? Healthcare reporter Sarah Krauss is here with us to discuss. So, Sarah, do all states have the same rules here? And how does that change who's responsible for paying?
Their rules are not consistent across states. Different states require that testing be covered for different types of workers, if at all. So in general, the federal government has said that insurers do not have to cover the cost of testing if it is as part of a broad sort of return to work type screening. If a person has symptoms, if they've had a known contact with someone who's sick, yes, insurers have to cover it. If it's just a regular sort of ongoing check, they don't. And subsequent to that, states have issued their own guidance on whether, for example, nursing home worker testing should be reimbursed or childcare worker testing.
Now, how do large and small businesses deal with this?
In general, companies that wish to test their workers are paying for it out of their own pockets or profits. So many large companies are what's called self-insured, meaning they pay for all of their healthcare costs. For smaller businesses, this is becoming an additional expense that they have to pay on the side because, in general, regular workplace testing does not have to be covered by insurers. And even within the state guidance, so for example, like in West Virginia, insurers have to cover the cost of workplace testing for childcare or nursing home workers without imposing any cost sharing, meaning the worker wouldn't have to pay a copay or meet a deductible. But in other states like California, the worker may have to pay a copay or pay to meet a deductible.
That's got to be a huge burden on small businesses.
It could. And this is something that small businesses have said is troubling them. I spoke for this story to a company in Connecticut called Mott Corp that's paying more than $30,000 per month to test 150 employees every other week. And that is coming out of their profits. So there is a push among some human resources and other trade groups to ask Congress to provide additional federal funding to help pay for workplace COVID testing. And the reason all of this matters is one of the tricky things about COVID-19 is the potential for asymptomatic transmission, meaning you can be sick and infected and not know it, and therefore go to work and potentially infect your colleagues. So the companies that want to be able to do this are saying, we're trying to get ahead of the ball, we're trying to get ahead of the problem, and it's very expensive for us.
Now, what's the push and pull between businesses and insurance companies regarding testing asymptomatic employees? You know, they've got to be tested also to ensure they don't become contagious down the line.
So from a company perspective, one of the arguments that executives have said to me is we're trying to get ahead of outbreaks. We don't want to be in a situation where a lot of our employees end up getting sick, which then ends up being a bigger healthcare cost down the road, a loss of productivity. We may need to shut down. On the insurer side, they often comply with what the federal or state governments say they are responsible for paying for. So they may not want to be in a situation where they are paying for weekly or biweekly testing of hundreds or thousands of employees if they don't have to, because they are also businesses managing their income and expenses. So, you know, you're talking about this financial equation on both sides and trying to, well, you're talking about this financial equation on both sides.
Now, are insurance companies mandated by law to reimburse for COVID-19 testing?
Well, many of them comply with what the federal or state guidance is, though they have the latitude to go beyond that. So if they're not required to cover testing in a given state or for a given type of worker, they may go ahead and do it anyway. They may cover it just once a month and say once a month is where the buck stops, or they may say once a month is all we're prepared to pay for. So if you want to test the worker more than that, you'll have to pay for whatever goes beyond that regularity. So there's a pretty wide variety in terms of how insurance companies are treating this. And, you know, this is a time when, in general, people have gone to the doctor less. Insurers have had pretty hefty profits. So it's sort of, again, to that financial push-pull. Right now, some companies are saying, hey, insurers are in a really strong financial situation. My workers are not going to the doctor. They're not using their insurance the way they normally would. So please cover these costs. However, to begin committing to paying for this long term on the insurance side could then, you know, sort of set a precedent for the future. If everyone is getting tested every week, is that something that is financially viable for them?
Now, what kind of tests are we talking about? Many people are waiting 7 to 10 days for results.
That's right. We are talking about the diagnostic test for COVID-19, so detecting an active infection. The turnaround times for those absolutely stretched in the last month, you know, in many cases beyond a week or even more. That is something that the big lab companies have said is getting better and that they're working to improve. But that certainly was the experience last month.
Do insurance companies typically pay for, you know, other kinds of tests at the workplace besides COVID-19?
No. So one of the things to note is, you know, for a company that wants their workers to be screened for drugs, you know, with a urine sample, that's something that the company would have to pay for. It's not something that would typically be covered under their insurance plan. So, you know, some folks are equating COVID tests to that, where, you know, workplace testing in general isn't typically covered by insurers. So why should this be?
You know, it seems like there's not a lot of consistency in terms of when to test and how to test.
Yes, businesses are still in sort of experimentation mode on this. Some of them are testing workers weekly, some are testing biweekly, and some just once a month. It's sort of a moving target. Some of them are building algorithms to determine, you know, how often do I need to do it based on the type of job that a person is in, the prevalence of the disease in the community in which the business is located, the type of living environment or condition that their population of employees have, because that can dictate the risk of transmission. So there's a lot of different inputs and variables that employers of all sizes are still working through to get the right balance.
Now, whoever pays for this, or, you know, however the cost is divided up, it's just going to keep adding up and adding up and adding up, because people have to be tested pretty regularly to ensure that you're catching potential positive cases, right?
Right. It's no small cost. And that's why this is a contentious issue, is there is demand for testing. But if this is something that's going to be in place for a long time, those costs add up. So who should foot the bill for that?
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krauss. Sarah, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.